Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Shattered Silence Stories of Recovery and Resilience. My name is Jory, and I am here again with Teresa. Going from our first episode to our very last episode of season one, we are wrapping up the season, and it's been awesome.
It's been an experience.
Yeah.
Like, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that it would happen like this.
I know.
I mean, we've had such a great response from everyone from all over, all over the place.
Yeah.
Not just from Bakersfield, because that's where we are in this little town of Bakersfield.
Yeah.
But literally from all over, like Canada. Like, we have like people from Australia, you know.
All over the world. Yeah.
It's insane.
It's really cool.
It's been a really good experience.
Yeah. And a lot of people, which I'm really busy. I own a business on top of this, but a lot of people have been talking to Teresa behind the scenes a lot.
Yes.
Which I hear everything, but sometimes I'm not as available to like respond to messages and things like that.
But I make sure that you hear every story.
Right.
I make sure, like, I send them to you.
Right.
I read them to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we always go over every story.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kept in touch because some of these people have reached out and just been so open and honest with you, because you've been so open and honest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I let them know, you know, you're talking to me.
Right.
You know, but Jory's going to hear this. She's going to hear this,
yes.
You know. And they're just so thankful that you did this, that you came out and you opened up and you were vulnerable and you told your story, and they're doing the same.
Right.
They're being vulnerable with me, talking to me and telling me their story. And I'm amazed, you know, just how you connected with so many people and you helped them.
I am too. Yeah. And I mean, I was really nervous. I was really, really nervous. Because even talking about having a podcast is one thing, and like telling your story, but then to actually go and do it is a whole different story. So like leading
like
up to the launch day.
Yeah, when we first did the launch.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a
like
very
leading up to that
crazy week.
I couldn't eat. Like the day of the day before, we did like a little launch party, which was really cool. And we
did it at Aspire.
Yes. And like just surrounded with, you know, family and friends and just people we've met along the way. Some people that were on an episode with us.
Yeah.
And so we had our little launch party, which was great. But I couldn't even eat that day. I was so nervous. I criticized myself on my speaking, and I was just like, you know, it's never going to be like good enough, you know, but at the end of the day, it was like, it turned out perfect.
Everyone was so impressed.
It turned out really good.
It was good to have your parents there too.
Yeah.
Because I just remember you were talking about your dad in one point of the podcast, and then seeing him watch you talk about that. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, he had to walk away. He's like, whoa, warn me about that.
Yeah.
Sorry,
it was
Dad.
Such a good response. And then we also had a team group that was happening at the same time, because we did do it at Aspire, and we had a teen group that was there, so we were streaming it. They were in their group session streaming along with our launch party at the same time, at separate rooms. And they were so receptive to it.
Yes.
Scott went and talked to them after, you know, the video, I mean, the podcast aired, and they were just like in awe of it. They loved it. They loved hearing your story. I think one of the teens said, I didn't even pick up my phone the whole entire time.
Yes, I remember Scott saying that. Yeah, which is really, I mean, that's really important too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of, like, especially the younger groups, don't care to listen in as much
sometimes
about
their attention span is somewhere else, or their mind is somewhere else, but they really were connecting to you and telling the story.
Right.
And that was pretty good. How did you feel, like, airing it all out there? Once it launched, and you know,
I feel like, well, for at least for the launch party, I guess I'm like sitting there, and as I'm talking, I'm literally just like this, and like, oh my gosh, like I felt like so embarrassed, because I don't like to be like in the spotlight, and so I was really embarrassed just being there with everyone to watch it, you know. But it ended up being fine. But the next day too, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's gonna launch. This is it. Like it's really happening. And seeing it, like, grow and grow and grow, and so many people responding, and so many people like, oh my gosh, like, this is really what you just went through. And I mean, you know, at first people like kind of give you crap, like, why aren't they saying like what happened? Like, yeah. Why aren't they saying? And so I feel like it was a big relief for me as well to be like, okay, I don't have to answer those questions anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have to, well, I never was really answering them because I wasn't ready to talk about it, but I don't have to keep hearing those questions, I guess I should say, because I was just like, people really don't understand like that it's not just like, this is what happened, you know? Like,
now. Let people grieve. You have to let people process what's happening. You know, like, they're having a hard time processing what's going on and what's happening. Sometimes you don't have all the details yet, too, and you're just piecing everything together in your head
that
and
was
in reality
exactly
and everything.
Yeah.
And they didn't give I know a lot of it has to do with, like, having such a huge following, like, on Instagram and being well-known and everything. So everybody thinks that they have to know.
Right.
They have to
know. They have to know, and they don't think about
what you're really going
through. It could possibly be tragic.
Through.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people, you know, heard that it was the car wreck and all that stuff and that whole situation, which is just crazy. Just, I feel like it was because his siblings had a big following. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, you have people from all over the world searching, like, Kyle Horton death. So people, like, just went with it, you know, just like put these fake articles out. And at the time it was like, all right, let's let people believe that, because I don't even know. We're still waiting on autopsy results. Yeah. I don't even know what happened. I'm in denial.
Well, and you're just like, don't even care at this point. Like, I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with.
Right.
Like,
right.
Whatever you choose to believe, then you can't believe everything that's on the internet.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Some people do. And
I'm like, context clues, people. Like, people need to look into context clues, because I swear it was like, Brooks was in the car with his dad. He was 2 years old. And I'm like, he was 9 months old, you guys. He wasn't even walking. Like,
it was probably like an AI-generated type thing, which I'm probably 99% sure that that's what it was.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah. But some people just, I don't know, even now, like, you still get those people, like, even now after you told them what happened.
Yeah, because they didn't go and listen.
They still, they like, just, wait, it's not the car accident.
I know.
Like, I'm like, we just told you.
Yeah.
We just told you.
You're literally commenting on a video of me telling what happened, and you're asking if it's a car accident still. So I don't know, but I feel like it definitely was like a big, you know, big weight off my shoulders after, so I didn't have to worry about all these questions coming in about the car wreck and about, you know, just what happened, because I mean, yeah, he did die young. He was 29, so it's like, it's very, it's not like it's not a common thing for people to like think like what happened, you know, and want to ask, and they're curious, you know, and I get that, but I had a lot of really weird messages too. Like, was it his fault in the car wreck? I'm like,
no, we just told you.
I don't know, even if it was a car accident, I don't know what you're gonna do with this information.
Yeah.
Does that make it any better? Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. So anyways, not a car wreck. We could finally put that to rest.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the direct messages, the DMs that we got, they were so impactful. Like, just everybody opening up and telling their story was...
And so many different stories,
so,
too.
Yeah, so many different stories. So many, like, just unbelievable stories. Like, some of them were... They wanted to reach out because they're just looking for help to, you know... some we couldn't even, like, post because, you know, it was sensitive. Like, there was, like, the FBI involved. You know, like, you know, it was the crazy stories that were coming out, but they were true stories.
Right.
And they were just like, I want my story to be heard because that's what we had this platform. This is what this platform was created, so you can tell your story.
Right.
And we were getting so many of them, and so many people just didn't want to be on the show or anything like that. They just wanted to tell it. They just wanted to say, thank you Jory for opening up because this is what happened to me.
Right.
And then I was able to ask some of them if we could share their story. Like, we can't get everybody on the podcast, but we want to share your story. We want people to hear it.
Right.
And so we started a campaign called Your Story on Instagram, and you can go on there and you can read all of them. And they're just so impactful, too.
Right.
And they talk about, you know, what they went through when they were growing up, or, you know, what happened to their mom or what happened to their child. And they want to be heard. And they want to get it out there too. So you really made a difference.
Yeah. And it's crazy to like think that I made a difference just by telling my story, because I don't feel like of course that's the goal, is to give people some encouragement to share their story if that's like helps them, it's therapeutic to them or whatever. But it's weird to hear that people are saying that me just telling it has helped too.
I remember one viewer came on, messaged, and she told me as soon as her and her husband listened to your podcast, the very first one, he went and got help. That they literally drove and went and got help for him. Because
I remember
he was
that
a veteran. Yeah, he was a veteran, and he's like, I don't want this to happen to you. And they literally went and got help like right then and there. And that
was one
just,
of our first messages, and I just remember you and I talking about it and like getting so emotional.
This is why we did it.
Oh my gosh, this guy really just went and got help.
Yeah.
And like risked a lot of things because he has a higher...
Yeah, he had like, a higher job, like more, you know...
Government
know.
Job,
yeah.
And so he was risking a lot by going to get, like, mental health help, you know?
And he just died. She said he didn't care, like, you know, what it put him in. He just wanted to get help so he could be here for our family. And I was just like, that's awesome.
And I feel like at first it's like, you know, talking about starting this podcast, and we want to put resources out there to help people, and we want some people to come on and share their stories. And just starting a podcast, never doing a podcast before, it was definitely a learning curve, you know? I mean, for everyone, production and just everyone. And so I also, like, now that it's finally launched and we have episodes coming out, I feel like, you know, we're getting more and more of these messages and we have more and more like stories that, I mean, I can relate to. A lot of people
can
relate to. The
stories are endless.
And so that just brings up, we're going to have a second season. And so we already have people that are coming on to the podcast from messaging us.
Right.
So these people are coming on to, you know, our next season just because they follow along and now they are ready to tell their story.
That's true. And Aspire has been so instrumental in this whole thing, allowing us to have this platform. And people, there was a lot of people reaching out that lived out of state, and unfortunately Aspire is only in California, but they were getting calls. You know, people were reaching out to them and getting calls. And that was the purpose, is just, you know, if you're in your state, if you're, you know, somewhere, like, we were sent, I would send them, like, links to places that they could find places to get help from. But that was their, you know, mission in supporting us in this, is just to make sure that everyone's able to get help. Like, you're talking about
it. And I'm going to clarify on that, too, because it's, yes, Aspire is in California, but people from out of the state can call Aspire and they would lead them still into the right direction within their state.
They would,
so it's not like, okay, I can't call Aspire because they're in California. So yes, that was their goal, to just get that outreach to more people, just, as many people as they could.
Yeah, the goal is to, you want help, you can get help. We're going to talk about it. You're not alone. You can do this, you know, and we're going to be behind her. And I've followed up with a lot of the people that have told me that they reached out and they're getting help, or my husband needs help and, you know, we're trying to do, you know, this. So I'll follow up on them just to check up on them and just to make sure everybody's good. You know, you start, like, talking to them, you start developing, like, a relationship for them, and you're worried, you know, you want them to, you know, keep going. Like, don't give up. So we're just kind of still wanting everyone to know, like, don't give up. You have hope. Nicole was one of the episodes that we, I think she was right after yours. Nicole reached out to us in the very beginning, and mm-hmm. she had messaged and she said that, you know, she's like, I really related to Jory. Like, I want to tell her, I want to tell my story. You know, she's like, I wish I could have handled it as well as she did. She's all, but unfortunately I didn't handle it so well,
mm-hmm.
but she felt it was important to tell
right.
that part
right. yeah.
of her story about how not everybody handles grief the same.
Right. Right.
And sometimes it doesn't turn out very good mm-hmm. when you handle it.
Yes.
And her story was really impactful.
I know, it really was. And I feel like just talking with her, just because of military, too, mm-hmm. just like...
That's how she connected with you.
Right. It's just because this, like the military, you feel like once these guys get out that they don't truly get the help that they need and deserve. Mm-hmm. And... unfortunately, we related on both of our, you know, second halves. Ultimately, their life was taken from them from one way or another because, I mean, stemming from the military.
Right.
And so, yeah.
I think her episode, like, that helped her, like, it not only helped her talk about, like, the guilt that mm-hmm. she felt, and it made, you know, like, it kind of relieved, gave her a sense of relief to get that out there mm-hmm. to let, you know, people
yes.
know that not everybody handles it well,
right?
You know, and some people can fall
exactly
off.
And it's not like it's one, like I like to say this a lot, it's not one size fits all. Mm-hmm. Everyone is different, everyone handles it differently, but there's no right or wrong way. Like, I know, yeah, her looking back maybe is like mm-hmm. I didn't handle it great, but again, her hearing other people's stories and stuff, at least she can feel like she's not the only one that's gone
mm-hmm.
and not handled it perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying
but
that
she was
I'm...
able to, like, pick it up and, you know, pick it up and get, you know...
Exactly,
get
yeah.
back on track and
right.
realize, you know, that she needed to get the help.
Right, yeah.
That and it... that was her message.
Yes.
Was like, you can, you mm-hmm. know, just because you went down this road doesn't mean that you can't get better.
Right. I think we even mentioned, like, mm-hmm. therapy. She's like, I wish
yes,
I would have gone to therapy right away.
Right away, but she did. But
she did eventually,
end, yeah.
yes.
And then she was able to talk about her husband as, you know, the genuine person that he was.
Right, and not just the tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Can only say so much when talking about your story. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like when you listen to stuff back, you can think... I mean, you think, like, oh, I wish I would have added this. I wish I would have said this. I mm-hmm. should have brought up this point, you know? And so after, like, looking back at my episode, which if you guys didn't watch the first episode with Teresa and I feel like that is so important to watch that with my episode.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel like a lot of people watch just the story, but there's also a lot more about Kyle and about us before he passed and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
So I feel like that first episode is really important to watch, too. I guess intro episode
yeah.
is important to watch too. But I talked about, yeah, just the actual events of the day and how I found him and just that part of it, but didn't talk about really so much after.
What happened?
After, yeah, because it's like we're just sitting there and it's like they take Kyle, you know, they take his body and we are literally just sitting there like in shock, like, what now?
What now?
You know, what now? And so, I mean, I can't even remember how long we just sat there, but one big thing is going back to my house afterwards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when can I go back home? When am I going to feel okay to go back home, you know? And I feel like some people never do.
Mm-hmm.
Some people never do. I have talked to people that said I had someone pack my things up and I never went back to that house, you know? And
right.
And I'm like, I was the complete opposite. I stayed at my parents' house for maybe two nights, and I was like, I gotta get back home. Like, even
I
though...
I remember that.
Yeah, because, I mean, my biggest concern was Brooks. And
mm-hmm.
he wasn't sleeping good right after he passed, you know? I mean, he was there with me, although he didn't fully understand what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he still knows that there's something tragic happened, I would imagine, because of the way I screamed, the way we were all
mm-hmm.
frantic, you know. I mean, as a little baby too, like, I feel like you still sense that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so Yeah, so then after, I was just trying to research, like, trauma in, like, infants, you know? He was 9 months old, and it was just, like, try and get them, keep them in their routine as much as you can. And I was like, well, the one way for me to keep him in his routine, obviously, is to take him home so he can sleep in his own bed.
God, you're so
sorry. And so, I mean, well, that's, yeah, I had to go back. I mean, I had to go back home just for Brooks.
I know, but I also remember, like, when we went to your house with you, all of us. Mm. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Like, you, it was your first night back, and we all went home with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was all of us. I have, like, pictures of all of us, like, in the living room just playing with Brooks.
Right.
And, yeah, like, the housekeepers came in, like, they cleaned up, and then you came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we all were there with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we stayed there with you until you were tired.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say it was probably either my sister or someone
spent the night with me. Your sister was with you. Yeah, because we were, all the boys were there.
Yeah. And I didn't ever, like, right in the beginning, I didn't go home and stay there by myself. I was like, I want to be at home, but I don't want to be alone, mm-hmm. obviously. So between friends, my mom and my sister and... I mean, someone was with me every night.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it was probably, I mean, it was probably at least a month until I finally, like, stayed there alone. But, and I, for whatever reason, I wasn't scared. I had this sense of comfort almost. Like, I don't know why. Like, if I was at my parents' house sleeping in, like, the guest room, it almost made me more sad to be there because I was just like, I'm here for a reason,
mm-hmm.
and I'm here because Kyle's not here. And if I was at home, it was, I didn't think of it that way as much. It was like, yeah, Kyle's gone, but I'm in our home. I'm in our bed, mm-hmm. you know, like, and it just, I don't know why, it just felt more comforting to mm-hmm. be at home.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and it was just like, I mean, Brooks did start to sleep better, you know, and it's exactly what I wanted for him because I'm like, I mean, knowing what tragedy felt like for me, a little bit older child, but as a kid, yeah, like, I mean, me watching my friend get hit by a car as a kid is clear as day in my head. I, like, 20, however many years later, 21 years later, it is so clear in my head, that tragedy, you know what I mean? So I just think, like, for him, although he might not have the visual, like, remembering what happened, I just wanted to try and erase that as much as I could and just, yeah, get him back to his routine. So, yeah, we went back home. Had all of the friends there, and mm-hmm. I felt so loved and comforted by just having not just my friends, Kyle's friends, just mm-hmm. a big group of friends and some family. And I actually have a picture of all of us on the couch, mm-hmm. and we're holding that little Kyle cutout pillow.
Yeah, that Brooks takes everywhere with him.
Yes, yeah, right now he's obsessed with Dada pillow,
mm-hmm.
and he has to sleep with them. He's got to sometimes bring him in the car with us. I'm like, okay. But yeah, I mean, everyone's different, and from the outside looking in, I'd be like, there's no way I'd be able to go back into that house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, for whatever reason, I needed to go back.
Yeah.
And I will say the very, very first time I went back, because I left, my mom's like, you know, don't worry about your clothes, I have clothes for Brooks at home, I have clothes for you to sleep in, so you don't have to go back in the house. Because I was like, at that point that night, I was like, I'm not walking back in that house.
Yeah.
I'm not walking back in there. Like, I was terrified. But the very next day we did go back, because I said, no, I need to grab some things, you know. There was needles and the things that
from the
sticky things.
Mm-hmm. The EMTs.
And, yeah, and, like, Brooks had this little playpen area that was just flipped up, and I just remember walking in. It's just, like, it's still the scene, you know?
Yeah.
They don't clean up for you, obviously. And, I mean, not obviously. I didn't know that. You know?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, at least they're going to pick up their trash, and I'm not going to see them, all the things of them shooting him with Narcan and just trying to resuscitate him, you know? So my sister's like, just... I'll clean this up. Just go, you know? And so, yeah, it was just all of that and the aftermath and everything, you just, I mean, that's just gonna stick in your head too. After it was all cleaned up, I did have a cleaner come and clean the house up for me, and it just was, yeah, it was just a lot more comforting to be at home
than
even through all of that. Yeah, it was just better to be home. But I will say now, I'm still at the same house. I've had moments where, you know, I'm walking out from my hallway towards my kitchen. That's the exact, like, way I was walking when I found Kyle. And so me walking out like that, sometimes I will stop right there in that spot and look and see, like, my exact, like, line of vision of where I found Kyle. And I've had moments where it's like PTSD, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm, like, just sitting there, and I just, like, am literally just sitting there staring. And I just, like, can visualize him on that couch. And, I mean, I've called my brother crying before, and he's just like, well, if you don't want to move, then maybe we should get you a new couch or something, change something up so you don't have this, like, flashback like that. And, like, yeah, maybe. But it's just, yeah, it's weird sometimes because that does happen.
I feel the same way sometimes. Like, I sit and I'll come over and I'm like, if you're, like, into a different room or something, and I sit there and I'm like, oh, I just think about it. You know, I just stare about it and I just think about.
I mean, we sit in the exact spot where he died.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird to say that and think about that, you know? So, like, I have friends over. Brooks sits and watches TV the exact place where his dad took his last breath.
Yeah.
You know? It's really weird. Really, really weird to think about, you know? But...
It is, but I admire you for, like, going back there and just making it normal for Brooks.
Yeah.
Still making it normal for him. This is the home that he knows.
Yeah.
He doesn't know any other home, you know? Like, so making it comfortable for him and still you have Kyle's presence there. You know, you still feel his energy. You still feel that, you know, vibe still from him, too. And that's kind of hard to let go of, too.
Yeah. And at this point in time, it's like I think about things. How do I say this? I think about things in the way that my house is now, which is kind of weird. So it's like, okay, well, when he passed, like, we had this baby gate up, you know what I mean? Because Brooks just started crawling. Well, at this point now, I've taken that baby gate down. I've gotten a new, like, bed frame, you know? Mm-hmm. I've gotten...
You're growing.
This furniture.
Your life is moving on.
Exactly. And
things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
and
not
that's
the same.
The thing that's kind of hard, to be in the same place and to think or to even
without
see videos
him.
Or pictures of when he was there in that house with us and to see how different things are. Even one little thing. I have his hand molding and it's sitting on one of my... I don't know. It's in a cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's displayed. And so I have, like, a plant by it. And now the plant is like a vine and it's growing kind of in front of it. And it just, the other day I sat there and I looked at it and it made me really sad because
time's moving.
It was truly a time's moving on. And it was almost like it was, makes
That's
me sad
crazy.
To think.
Yeah.
But it's almost like it's like covering up his hand, you know? And I'm like, I don't. I want to feel like I'm moving on from him, but it just is a reminder that life is still happening and it's still moving on, you know, and it will continue to move on. But it always will bring me back to, I'm just so thankful that I have Brooks because there's days where I don't want to move on. I just want to lay in bed and cry. And a year and however many months later, a year and a couple months later, you know, I'm still just, it hasn't stopped. The grief hasn't stopped. People kind of forget because for them, it's not a person that you're seeing every single day. It's a friend that I see every other month or whatever, or maybe even longer. I see him every 6 months because we live out of town and I don't see him often, you know? And so even from like thinking about other people that have passed that I wasn't close with, I get that perspective too, because mm-hmm. it's like, oh my gosh, it's been 2 years already. You know, that's crazy, because I don't think about them every day. And so now having that perspective and being on this side of things where this was like my whole life, whereas it was a piece of someone else's life, mm-hmm. it's like, it's just weird because I won't say that I've gotten better. You know what I mean? I still have, like, sometimes I have worse days because mm-hmm. it's like, it's even more real now. Like, man, it's been a year and, you know, 3 months or whatever, and
or watching Brooks go through his milestones that, like, even...
Birthday party recently really triggered me, because it was just, like, I thought about how soon his first birthday was after Kyle passed, and to think that Kyle never spent a birthday with him, mm-hmm. besides his birthday. Mm-hmm. You know, he was there when he was born, but he never got to spend a birthday with him, and I sometimes look at him, and I'm just, like... I'm so sorry you won't get to know your dad, you know? I'm so sorry you won't get to know him the way that I did. But he will, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we talk about him all the time, and he's got his dada pillow everywhere.
And not forgetting about him. You're not forgetting about him. We still talk about him. We still say, fucking Kyle.
All the time. Damn it, Kyle. you idiot. We do all the time, and I mean,
but I do feel like Kyle has had like a way of putting us through this whole process with this podcast.
100%.
Just like the way things have always happened, the alignment of everything.
Yes. That brings me up to like my therapist. I met her through a family friend, right after Kyle passed away, and she does hypnotherapy, and it was like, I mean, I might as well. I'll try it, you know? We'll see how it goes. I'll at least try it. I'll try anything at this point. But it was only like a couple weeks after Kyle passed, and so she was like, you know, I don't normally see people before the funeral, because he hadn't even had his funeral yet, you mm-hmm. know? We're still waiting on all these autopsy results, which also took, like, over 8 weeks. So, with her, she's like, I never talk with anyone before the funeral, but I just had something pulling me, like, that I need to speak with you before the funeral. And she just happened to have, like, a cancellation, and I happened to be available that morning, and so I went and saw her, and... she, how do I say it? Like, she's not a medium, mm-hmm. but she kind of is.
Like, she's so spiritual. Like, she's got some sort of spiritual connection.
Yes. And she does. And, it's not like we're out there, like, seeking, like, okay, Kyle, come down and talk to us, or come give us a sign, you know? And I shouldn't even say us, her. I don't know. She doesn't, like... It's not like a psychic where we're sitting down having a reading, you mm-hmm. know? It's like, she's my therapist, we talk, and if something happens to come through for her, that's some sort of sign, then she'll let me know. Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, the very beginning, I want to say it was our very first meeting together, it was like, I'm seeing this, like, this hand, this, like, helping hand, and it's just Kyle, and it's, like, about, like, all of these friends and helping friends, and maybe not even just friends, people in mm-hmm. general. And then it just further down the line, you know, it's like, oh yeah, well, we're doing this podcast. And I always think back to that first time meeting, and it's like, that's what it was for. Like, he's talking about this podcast mm-hmm. and like, it was like this sign to me that he was okay with talking about it.
But that's like not the only thing that she said too. She did say that she saw you doing a podcast.
Yes.
Because you were thinking like book.
Yeah, because I was like, I like to write, and I like maybe a blog. And I was thinking like a
TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, type.
Right. And so she's like, no, I'm not getting any of that. I feel like it's something really big, but I'm not getting that. Mm-hmm. And then later down the line, I was like, yeah, definitely like a podcast or something. And I'm like,
And then that's when I was like, oh, do you want to do a podcast? That put a
light bulb, like, you know, like, oh my gosh, I love to write and I'm totally open and honest with my feelings. And I never really thought about a podcast, but I'm like, I mean, you know, I can just talk. So why wouldn't it be a podcast, you know? And then all the stars aligned after that. And it just makes me think that all of our conversations together, my conversations with her, it's like, man, it's just solidified everything, you know? And just the little signs just in that coming through from Kyle. Like, I 100% believe that it's Kyle's got a piece in this, you know?
Yeah, that's how I felt about whenever Corianne became part of the episode. I feel like that led her to this. He led her to do this episode because, I don't know, she said she had, like, a conversation with you about it at one point, but she just wasn't, like, ready or anything like that.
It was just kind of a, like, just small talk. Like, oh, yeah, I'd tell my story, you know, whatever.
And then when I saw her at dinner, that night, I just kept thinking, like, I hope Corianne comes to this dinner. I hope she comes to this dinner. Like, I really want to see her. I haven't talked to her in so long. And she never comes to the dinners, like like late dinners, because she's got little ones. She always stays home, and maybe Ian will come, you know. But she'll stay home. But this time they were both there. And I was just, like, so happy to see her. And then we just happened to have a cancellation. And then she's like...
Like a couple days later, right?
Like the next day. It was the next day.
Okay.
Yeah. It was the very next day. Really I know it's been a while. It's been a while. But it was like the very next day. And I'm like, yeah, we had a cancellation. And she's like, you know, I talked about it. She's like, but I don't know. I don't know what people will think about, you know, me. Because she's... Was going through postpartum depression when she was going through her, you know, episodes and stuff where she, you know, had like her addiction, and she didn't want anyone to portray her as a bad mom because she's not a bad mom. She's a very good mom. And I'm just like, you know what? It doesn't matter what people think about you. People are going to think shit about you no matter what. They're going to think, you know, they're going to have their own opinion no matter what, but it doesn't matter. Like, you know, it's how you feel. And if you want to share that, like, it's, you know, that's what you need to do, you know, think about. Like, you talk to Ian and, you know, you guys discuss it. And then we were eating and talking and everything. She's like, you know what? She's like, I'm going to do it. She says, I want to do it. And then I'm okay. I'm like, okay. And then I was telling her how all the coincidences that were happening, like, and I told her how I felt like Kyle was leading us through this way. And I'm like, here he goes again. He's doing it again. You're his best friend, you know, your childhood best friend. And he knows how important it is for you to heal and to get through this. And this is probably something that you need to share to get off your chest and everything. And I'm like, and here he goes again, just like putting the alignment right in place again. Like the cancellation, you coming to this dinner, which you rarely do, and then it happening, you know, and you sitting here, and then you come in the next day and you do this podcast, you know? And she was just like, you know, if it helps one person, that's what everyone says. And it does help just one person because people have reached out to her through her messaging, you know, like, and she's like, hey, do you have Aspire's number? Like, I have this person that's, you know, asked me for, you know, where they could get help and, you know, or does Aspire do this? And, you know, because people are still reaching out to her because she did that.
Right.
We did have some trolls, but I always feel like
there's always going to be.
Yeah. I always feel like those people are the people hurting themselves. You know, like they're hurting at some way or some point. So that's why they've got to like put their two cents in or whatever. But she was amazing to be so strong and to come out there. And that was Kyle's best friend and her telling stories about how he like brought her to get help and everything. Like, it's just, that's how I feel like he just has like a whole plan in this whole thing.
Yeah. And that's how, I mean, and then I want to say you connected Elaine and I, and I had never met her before, but just,
you made such a huge impact on her.
Yeah, just being vulnerable and just sharing my story gave her courage.
Yeah, she was afraid to talk about how he died. She was afraid to, like, say he had an overdose, you know, like, for whatever reason, like, hard for her.
That's how I was, too, and my timeline was a little bit different than hers. Hers may have been a little bit longer, but, yeah, in the beginning, too, I'm like, I don't want to tell people, especially, like, I'm a photographer. I work with schools, you know. I don't want to have a bad image on myself either, just thinking that you associate with that or whatever it is, you know.
It's the stigma.
It is the stigma, and you don't want it to, like, make that, like, make your person that's no longer here less than. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because
that's not the person he was. Like, right. The way he died doesn't define who, right, the person that he was.
And one thing I will say, too, is that I, just talking with my brother recently, actually, he was just like, you know, it's just so sad because we talked about it, too. Like, we talked about not taking pills again and just being on this right path, and I would never do that again because of that withdrawal was awful. It was something I will never, ever want to do again. And he's like, that's what makes me so sad, because knowing that we talked about those moments and not going back to that place, he had to have been in a really dark place. And it makes me so sad to think about. And so, you know, we're tearing up talking about it because it's like, yeah, I mean, man, I wish I could know what was in his head.
And I often think that too, because I feel like that day he was just reaching out to all his friends. Like, he talked to everyone. He talked to me that day. Mm-hmm. I talked to him, and then he had talked to every one of us.
I went through his call log, and it was almost, his full call log was almost from that day.
Yeah.
Like, how many people, like, how many people did you call today? My gosh.
Yeah.
So he called a lot of people. But speaking of his call log, I was able to go, I mean, I was able to go pretty far back.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was only like, well, only a week, because he had gone on a bachelor party about a week before. Was it a week? Maybe 2 weeks. I don't know. Somewhat in that time frame. And I found 2 outgoing calls a couple days apart from each other to a mental health and addiction hotline. And each time it was less than a minute. One of the times it was only about 30 seconds. So I don't know if he got through to someone, if he started a call and he chickened out. But I didn't know that it was a mental health and addiction hotline. I just see this number and I'm like, what is this? You know, I'm trying to search for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to call it. And that's when I find out it's this mental health and addiction hotline. I'm like, oh my gosh, he was silently struggling by himself. And not only that, one of the calls was an outgoing call the day that he was coming home from his bachelor party. And it makes me so sad. Like, I don't know if it's just something in that triggered him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but yeah, just to think that he was going to try to reach out because he didn't want to disappoint anyone. I know that's what it is. I know he didn't want to disappoint me. I know he didn't want to disappoint his friends, his family. Like, I know he didn't want to disappoint people, but that's the thing. I'd rather you think that you don't want to disappoint me than never have you here with me again.
And that's why we want to talk about this too.
Because please talk to your loved ones, because I promise they would rather that you're
struggling
than this outcome.
Yeah.
So
something that, I mean, going back to, like, the whole Elaine thing, she was just so impressed by you and so, like, encouraged by you that she was able to finally say it. And she tells me that all the mm-hmm. time. She's like, if it wasn't for Jory, you know, like, you just made such a huge impact on her. And she talks about it. And she's one of our biggest supporters, too.
I know. She really is. She's the best.
She was good. We got invited to the Adventist Health Overdose Awareness Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited Shattered Silence to come out and speak. But you had already had a commitment with work, right, so you couldn't do it. So we asked Elaine to come and mm-hmm. speak, and she did so good.
Yeah.
Like, she really just, like, went out there, talked to everybody. You know, the mayor was there, the, you know, all the staff from mm-hmm. Adventist Health. They had, like, you know, the chamber people were there. Like, it was a really nice big event,
right?
And she just went out there with no script and just told her story.
That's,
and it was
so
amazing.
Awesome.
And then Aspire was out there. They were telling, you know, the statistics of what was happening. But I was so impressed by her, and she's just like, Jory made me do this. Like, she gave me the courage to do things like this. And
that's
so
just,
she's
amazing.
She's out there helping, you know, and that's what she wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then she just kind of, like, she kind of held back a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, like, she did. She's like, for some reason I didn't. And then you just gave her that push to keep going.
Yeah.
And that's what she does. So that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and, like, again, like I said, it's just weird for me to hear that I'm helping people when mm-hmm. I'm I mean, I do want to help people, but I also feel like I'm just, like, telling my story and just being honest, you know?
And you're trying to help yourself at the same time.
Yeah,
Yeah,
because I promise you, it has not been easy. It's, you know, I do own a business, and I am a full-time single mom, you know? So it's really, really hard to balance everything, which is another thing, too. I mean, I feel like we recorded so many episodes at a time where I was a little bit slower. And then after, like, the launch, you know, it's like I literally have not had time to record anything else or really even have much of a presence on social media and stuff. But now I'm really, really excited for this next season because my season at work is slowing down so I can really put my efforts into this podcast more like I've always wanted to.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously my business comes first.
Yeah.
I got to provide for my son. So, but yeah, I am really, I truly am
I'm
very excited.
I'm excited for it too, because we know a little bit more.
Yes. We're a tiny bit more seasoned, but I mean, I feel like even just the connections that we've made, moving forward into this next season, I mean, we already have a pretty good list of
the
people.
Followers are just, and the listeners, they had said that Shattered Silence is different from all the other podcasts. It's like, you have real people that are on here.
Yeah.
Like, you have real people that are going through real stuff, and that was impressive to them, and that's what they, like, encourages them.
And I don't want it to be all sadness and grief and downfall of people, you know, which
that's
is
why we had
David.
We had David on there. Because he was so encouraging, because
I loved his episode.
Yeah.
I just thought, yeah,
he was so like good. Rock bottom at one point, and then just said, I'm not going to be here. And then he had it looked to his higher power. He, God helped him through it, got a sponsor and helped him through it. And he made one of these local solar companies become, he was a really big part of that company being so successful, and then ended up owning his own solar company, you know. And he went from rock bottom, nothing, was in jail at one point in his life, and then made himself, you know, turn to God, turned himself around, you know, really focused on his family and getting himself right. And if he's like, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
And he's out there being a mentor to a lot of people, you know. He helps a lot of people.
Yeah. And I feel like just a glimpse of seeing that you can be at rock bottom and just to not give up, you know, because I feel like at that point there's so many people like, well, I've lost everything.
Yeah.
What do I have to lose now? But it's like, you still do have things to lose.
You have your life
to lose. Yeah, exactly.
You have your life. You have your life. And right now is like whenever you turn around.
And it's what you make it. Like, really, if you just make that choice that, like, okay, I'm going to actually start living my life now, and it's not over, you know? I mean, there's so many resources. There's no excuse. Go get help,
so
you know?
There's so many people out there willing
to help. It's easier said than done, I know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's like, okay, we'll just make this decision and get help. You're fine.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. I mean, from my perspective, too, I'm like, no, it's not that easy to just get over someone and just move forward. It's like, I am alone. I want to have a partner, but at the same time, I'm not really ready. You know what I mean? I haven't been fully ready to, like, open my life to someone else. And so even that struggle is a whole different thing, you know? It's like, I've been so sad.
Like, having to find, you know, like, that's your natural instinct, is to want a partner in your life to share. Especially if you have a son and dating all over again. That's just not...
That's a whole other thing.
That's a whole new episode.
That is another episode, yeah. I've got a good friend. You know, we have just connected so much on Instagram, like, since Kyle passed away, because her husband had passed, I want to say maybe 5 months before Kyle. And so, you know, she was messaging me right away, like, I just went through this. And then, I mean, I'm telling you, me and her, we sometimes talk on the phone and we'll just talk about stupid things, you know, and having a stupid date and why are we doing this, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's just so, so nice to have friends that really, really understand, you know. And so we are going to talk about all the things that
and there's
we
a
have
lot of young
through.
Moms out there that going through the same thing that you guys are going through, that, you know, that lost their husbands and everything, that are raising their families. There's a lot of them, like, I've noticed, because I'll, like, check out a lot of these Instagrams mm-hmm. and everything, and these are moms that are relating to you.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons mm-hmm. why they're relating to you, because they're going through a whole grief, they're young and going through that whole process.
Right. So. And I just want to add that anybody that is on any social media or sharing their life, as far as like grief goes and just the things that they're going through or like moving forward in life, there are so many freaking haters out there, mm-hmm. regardless of your story. It makes me mad. Just like messaging her, I can't believe these people said this. 'Cause it's like, oh man, I wish that, I hope that if my husband were to die, that he'd wait longer to date someone else. 9 months isn't enough. And it's like, well, I'm glad you don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, aren't you lucky that you don't know?
Aren't you so lucky mm-hmm. that you actually get your husband there with you? And for someone to already suffer through what you're going through, you hope he suffers longer. That's a terrible thing to say. Yeah. And so I would really hope that, like, if it was reversed and if I passed away, I really hope Kyle would find someone to be with Brooks and with him to keep him happy. Because regardless, you're not coming back. And he's not coming back. Yeah. And so anyways, it's just to say that, there's always going to be haters out mm-hmm. there, but there's so many more people that appreciate you sharing because mm-hmm. they can go through it too, or they're mm-hmm. going through
they
it
like
too.
They like to hear, okay, gosh, I'm not the only one that thinks that, or I'm not the only one that's feeling that,
Yeah,
I get that. It's been good. It's mm-hmm. been a great journey. I'm looking forward to season two.
I feel like season one was great. We had a lot of great guests on, as well as always the resources and things, but I'm really excited for season two, just adding in all of these viewers that are actually going to come on and tell their stories mm-hmm. and and if anybody has any specific topics that they want us to cover or specific like questions, you can always message in, whether it be on Instagram or email.
Instagram's better.
Okay. And as always, don't forget to follow us on all of our socials on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can listen in to full episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or you can watch on YouTube.